or weeks, I'm going to be looking at relationships, but it's all right. You don't have to start squirming because I'm going to try and talk about principles and things that we can apply to our own lives. So, you know, if stuff's happening in your world, then hopefully some of the stuff that we talk about over the next 4 weeks will just help you with that. And the reason I want to talk about relationships is basically because God is a relational God, and relationship is really, really important to him. We know that God wants relationship with us. A lot of what we do talks about God's relationship with us and how he's our friend and how he cares for us and he wants us to be in that relationship. In the Garden of Eden, right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, we read that God created man and woman and he created them to be in relationship with him. They walked with God in the garden every day. And so there was this relationship that they had, not just with each other, but with God. And so there's this whole relational thing that happens. And of course, after the fall, which is in Genesis 3, that relationship with God was broken. And also the relationship between men and women was affected as well. And so relationships now are kind of, I guess they can get a bit mixed up, can't they? The good news is that when Jesus came, he came to restore relationship between us and God. And he also came to restore relationship between people. One of the things that God does is restore. God is in the business of restoration, and I love that. One of the things that I like about the way God restored us and saved us is it says that he rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light. And that just means that we're taken out of the life that we used to live into his kingdom. Let's look at Colossians 1:19-20. I think you've got it there to put in your books. It says, for God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ and through him to reconcile everything to himself. How about that for a restored relationship? He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. That says to me, God wants relationship with his people. God really desperately wants relationship. Colossians 1:21 goes further and it says, this includes you who were once far away from God. We were all once far away from God, weren't we? We didn't understand. We didn't quite understand who God was. And it says, we were separated from him by our thoughts and our actions, yet he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Who likes the idea of being holy and blameless? Oh, I like that idea. Before God, that's how he sees us with our relationship with Jesus. So we're created. We're really created for this relationship. We're created for a relationship with family and friends. And God is all about making sure and helping us with our relationships. You know, when God said a few weeks ago, we talked about God pouring out his spirit. And it was poured out on men and women. We as girls are not excluded from the grace of God. We are included and part of what God wants. So I wanted to look at a couple of practical points about relationships today, just some things that I think help, and they're just general across all relationships. So you can apply them to whatever relationships you have in your life, whether it be marriage, children, friends. I think that these principles actually go across all of those kind of relationships. And the first one is mutual respect. When we have relationships, we need to have a mutual respect for one another. What does that mean? It just means valuing the other person, placing value on the other person, and treating them in an appropriate manner. I believe that mutual respect is really the first building block of relationships. We have to have this basic level of respect for one another if we're going to build anything worthwhile in our lives. And girls, if you are married or if you're in a relationship, one of the most important things we can do is respect our husbands. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we don't respect them. We might say that we do, and we might think that we do. But can I tell you, some of the behaviours that we have are very disrespectful. And we need to learn how to respect our partner in life. One of the things that I remember hearing a few years ago was, because I knew I'd done it. This is the sad thing. When the kids were little, and Brian would look after them and he'd do a fabulous job, but I'd come home and I'd say things like, why did you put him in those clothes? How come you gave them that to eat? And in all of that, I was totally undermining him and I was showing a complete lack of respect. In every other way, I was treating him well, but I showed a complete lack of respect because I was undermining who he was as a person. And I think as women, we do that in all kinds of relationships, not just husbands and wives. We say that we're just questioning, but the way we go about it is undermining who the other person is. So we need to be careful of that. Our partners also need to work on being people who are worthy of that respect, can I say? So let's just get some balance there, and not just us. Ephesians 5:33, so I can just put some context to that, says, I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And I think if we can get that respect bit right, they survey men around the world, and do you know what they say? Love is important, but respect is more important. Men need to be respected, and we need to respect them. We often unwittingly undermine people, and then we wonder why they don't respond in a way that we like. And it's because we're not showing them respect. Often we undermine our children, and then we wonder why they behave in a particular way. We undermine our friends, and we wonder why they get a bit upset with us. Ever had that happen? And then you realise, oh, you've actually said something or done something that hasn't been helpful. So we need to be thinking about how we behave. Let's make an effort to show respect to people. Let's make an effort to do it. Be people who are really respectful, especially those that we're in close relationship with, because we often hurt the people we love the most. Have you ever noticed that? So often we take out our anger and frustration on people we love the most, and yet in doing so, we're not really showing them respect. There's a little, I think you have this as well. It says, there's one sad truth in life I've found while journeying east and west. The only folks we really wound are those we love the best. We flatter those we scarcely know. We please the fleeting guest and deal full many a thoughtless blow to those who love us best. How true. How true. That is by a lady called Ella Wheeler Wilcox. I have no idea who she is. But I was looking at quotes about respect yesterday and I found that one and I thought that's really, really interesting, because how often do we show respect to people who we don't really know, and yet we don't respect those who are closest? So can I encourage you girls, show respect to people. One of the truths of life is that as we show respect to others, they will show respect to us as well. I think the second thing we need to really consider is honesty. Honesty and integrity are foundational to good relationships. It's really hard to build any kind of trust. If you've been in a broken relationship, you know when there's a lack of integrity, when your trust has been broken, it's very, very, very hard to build that trust again. Ephesians talks a lot about relationships. And sometimes it's a bit difficult to understand, but it talks a lot about relationships. And in Ephesians 4:15, it talks about speaking the truth in love. And the context of that is when we're doing stuff together in our families, our communities, and especially in the church, where it's talking about the different gifts. And it says, speak the truth in love to one another. Growing more like Christ is what we're supposed to be doing. And as we speak truth in love, that's what happens. It's necessary to build good relationships based on honesty and integrity. Honesty is so important. Kick the little white lies, girls. Just throw them away. We don't need little white lies. They can go. Let's be honest. Now, sometimes tough issues have to be addressed, and how we address those tough issues is really, really, really important. Speaking the truth in love means having an honest and open relationship where each person is able to honestly reflect on their own life and also to be honest with others, not in a brutal way. I hate the expression, I say this in love, because it usually comes before a tirade of very unloving, very nasty. It would be better to say, I have some stuff to tell you and you probably won't like to hear it, but because I care about you, I'm going to say it. And so that is speaking the truth in love. How we say it. We don't want to be brutal. That doesn't show love and respect for anybody. When we care about relationships, we will care about how we challenge people. When we care about relationships, we will care about making sure that we've got our own heart right first. In Matthew 7 through to 5, we've got that lovely little episode where Jesus says, who do you think you are trying to get the splinter out of your friend's eye when you have a huge log in your own eye? Remove the log from your own eye first, and then you can remove the splinter from someone else's eye. And one of the things that I find really interesting is we're so quick to want to remove the little splinter from someone else. We're so quick to think that somebody else should do something differently or behave differently, and we are not so quick to look at our own behavior and change our own behavior first. If I find something irritating about someone else, it's always important to have a really good look at why I find that irritating. And quite often I'll find a whopping great log sticking in my own eye, which needs to be moved out before I can address that issue with another person. It's really, really important to do some self-reflection. In leadership stuff, they talk about emotional intelligence, and some self-reflection is really important in that. Actually having a really good understanding of why we behave the way we do, helping us to understand how others behave the way they do. Let's take the stuff out of our own life. That doesn't mean we never address an issue, because we're never going to be perfect. But what it does mean is when something is bothering me, when I want to deal with an issue, let's look at my own heart first and make sure that I'm coming at this with the right attitude and that I'm not coming at it out of the wrong attitude. The third thing is selflessness. Our relationships are not just about ourselves. If it was just about us, we wouldn't have relationship. Relationship is about other people. I'd like us to question what we were wanting out of a relationship and why we're in a relationship in the first place. What is your motivation for being in relationship? We should be building relationship on the basis of how we give into the relationship and not from what we get from it. When you're giving into a relationship, and when each person in that relationship is giving into the relationship, you will receive what you need out of the relationship. The thing that's really frustrating, I think, is that we can't make the other person do what we want them to do because they have their own thoughts, feelings, and actions. We can only deal with what we can do and change and make different. Girls, I'm not talking about being used by other people. Can I get that straight right here and now? I am not talking about allowing yourself to be abused by anybody. I am not talking about allowing other people to walk right over the top of you. What I'm saying is look at the motivation, your own personal motivation for a relationship. What is your own motivation? Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, but it goes on to say that each person is responsible for his own load. One of the things that is really good about a selfless relationship is that we can help other people when times get really, really tough. You know, people go through really tough stuff and they need other people to be there to help them through that. And that's important. But we are not there to carry the load that they're supposed to carry for themselves. We're not there to rescue people. We're there to help, love, and support people. As a parent, there's a few parents here. As a parent, we recognise the responsibility we have towards our children. We have a responsibility to look after them, to care for them, to love them. But as a parent, we also have a responsibility, the Bible says, to train them up in the way that they should go. And we have a responsibility to help them to learn to take responsibility for their own lives. And I think one of the key roles that we can do as parents is to help our kids learn that regardless of what goes on in life, they are responsible for their own actions. Through the week, if you follow the football a little bit like I do, and it's been all over the news, it's been pretty hard to miss. One of our star football players got into a bit of trouble through the week, got caught up in a situation. And the situation he was in would have been really nasty. There was some racial taunts and some horrible stuff that just should not go on. But he reacted wrongly to that. And one of the things that is really hard for our kids to understand and sometimes for us as adults to understand is other people do stuff that's horrible, but we're still responsible for how we react to that situation. So just because someone's nasty doesn't give us the right to retaliate, however hard we think that you know, might be, we need to actually take responsibility for our own reactions. And part of living this selfless kind of life is actually saying, okay, I'm going into the relationship to give into this relationship, and I'm going to watch my actions, and I am going to help other people in the relationship to be responsible for their own actions as well. I think it's really, really important. Do you know what, girls? I nearly got a whiteboard up here to do something for you, and I might actually draw it for you later if you ask. We can never, ever fulfill every other need that the other person in the relationship has, whether it be a friend, whether it be a child, whether it be your partner. We can never, ever fulfill their need. We have to be, and they can never fulfill all of ours. We want people to help us and fill our need, but they can never fill our need. God is the only person that can fill that place. We need friends. We need all sorts of different people in our lives. But we are responsible for being whole. And part of the problem we have in relationships, whatever sort of relationship it is, and I see it especially amongst friends, where one person is really needy and their friend just pours and pours and pours and pours into them until they are completely emotionally drained because they can never, ever themselves fill that need of their friend. What they need to be doing is help that friend find wholeness. Help that friend. That doesn't mean don't spend time with them, but it just means help that friend find wholeness. Help that friend move along a path where they begin to take responsibility for themselves and not relying on you for every need. You know, it's hard to have the right motivation in a relationship when we're not whole. So can I encourage us, if we're going to live a selfless relationship, to get whole or at least be working toward wholeness? Some of us might be more whole than others, but we're never all whole because there's always stuff going on. So I'm not saying we have to be perfect in this. What I'm saying is, again, be aware. Be aware of your motivation. Am I reacting in a way that's coming out of my need, or am I responding in a way that comes from wanting to give into the relationship? What is it that you want? If there is areas where you're not whole, what do you need to do to begin to build some wholeness in that area? Because in relationships, that's what, as friends especially, that's what we're here for, is to help you build wholeness. We can't do it for you, but we can encourage you along the path. In any good partnership, and I think especially in marriages, it's really important to be working towards functional wholeness, or it ain't going to work, girls. If we want a relationship to work, we've got to be working on our own self as much as the relationship. Jesus was selfless when he took himself to the cross for our sake. He didn't say, what am I going to get out of this? He said, what are they going to get out of this? The joy set before him was us. It was for other people. It wasn't for him. Jonathan was selfless when he chose to support David's claim to the throne above his own. In 1 Samuel 23:16 to 17, I love this example of friendship. Two young men who really care about each other, not in the wrong sort of way, girls, really good, solid guys. These guys, Samuel was heir to the throne of Israel. And yet, he knew that David would get that throne. He knew that David, the prophecy had been on David to get the throne. And do you know what he says? He says, you will sit on the throne and I will support you in that. Here is someone very intentionally setting aside their own ambition, their own position, everything that was their own, to support the well-being of another person. The right motivation. Now, David was a person who was able to deal with the issues in his life. So he wasn't a needy person, but there was a relationship and a friendship working really well. I love that because it says, I'm in this relationship for what I can give into it, not what I can get out of it. And that makes a much better relationship. And now, girls, here's a really important one. So you better listen to this. It's about communication. It's about communication. We have to be really practical with this, girls. Just because we say something doesn't mean we have communicated. How often do we say, but I told you, I said, but I said that. doesn't mean we've communicated. Doesn't mean we've communicated at all. Does anybody know what the meaning of communication is? When has communication actually happened? Yes, when both people have understood the same thing. Communication is shared meaning. And unless there is shared meaning, there is no communication. I'm going to say that again because I think it's really helpful. Communication is shared meaning. And unless there is shared meaning, there is no communication. Have you ever come away from a meeting where everyone has heard exactly the same thing, but everybody has a completely different understanding of what was meant in that meeting? I have. And some of us think that because everybody's heard the same thing, that everybody understands it. They don't. I've been in some incredibly funny situations where you realize afterwards they actually had no idea what they were talking about. Or what's worse is when we think that somebody has understood and we find out later that they have totally misunderstood what we've said. The reason for that, girls, is we all come with what they call filters. We come with a filter of our life background, our family of origin, stuff that's happened this morning, yesterday, whatever. We come with this filter. And we all know that a filter blocks out stuff, doesn't it? That's what it does. A filter blocks out stuff. And so when we're talking, when we're speaking, when we're in relationship with one another, the people we're speaking to have filters. We all have them. We all have filters. And some have more than others, depending on what's happened in their life. But we all have filters, and we need to be aware of what our filter is. What do you filter your conversations through? Is it through pain and hurt? Because if it is, you're going to hear things differently. You're going to hear "you're wonderful" and "you're amazing" as they're just saying that. You're going to hear "God loves you" as "maybe, but how could he really?" So you're not going to really hear what is actually being said. I had a very, very funny situation. I checked with Joanne the other day to make sure it was okay to say this. A couple of weeks ago when Joanne was here unexpectedly, I asked her why she was able to come on Wednesday morning. And she said, "because of my breaks." And the thing is that both of us got this wrong. She assumed that I understood what she was talking about, and I assumed that I understood what she meant. I thought she was talking about her breaks from TAFE. And I said, "well, your TAFE break." She goes, "no, my breaks." I went, "your break from work." She goes, "no, my breaks. Finally, I twigged. I went, "we do not have communication happening here. In fact, we have something that is just not happening." And I said to her, "what brakes are you talking about then?" And she said, "the brakes on my car." You see how easy it can be to misunderstand someone? She'd made the assumption that I understood what she was talking about, but I too had made an assumption that I understood what she was talking about. So I thought she meant the B-R-E-A-K break, and she was talking about the B-R-A-K-E break. Two completely different things. Eventually, we came to communication because we asked some questions and we sorted it out. So we have not communicated effectively unless, like Rach says, we both come away with the same meaning and understand it in the same way. There is a book called "Mean What You Say and Say What You Mean." In other words, be honest and truthful about what you're saying and say it in a way that others understand. And then ask questions. See, assuming that we know what someone means and not checking means that we have miscommunication, and many relationships fall apart because of miscommunication and misunderstanding and assumption. Assumptions are termites of relationships. How about that? So Henry Winkler said that. Does everyone know who Henry Winkler is? The Fonz, yeah. Guy who played the Fonz. Assumptions are termites of relationships. We all know that termites get in. And do you know what termites do? Termites are sneaky. Termites get in and you don't know they're there. And they mine away at the fabric of your house until it's worthless. And if we make assumptions in relationships, they mine away at our relationships until that relationship isn't working. And we go, "what happened?" And it's built on so many assumptions. So never assume. Never assume that you know what people are talking about. There's a couple of things we need to do. I said this bit was a bit practical. What we need to do when we're talking is to say things like, Helen, if I understand you correctly, you mean... And then Helen can say, no, I didn't mean that at all. Or she can say, no, I meant this. Oh, so you mean... So you've got to ask questions. Or could you explain that further? I'm sorry, Helen, I don't quite understand what you're saying. Could you say that again and help me understand what you mean? Just so that people understand. Just so that we know. Ask yourself the question. Do I really know and understand what the person is actually saying? We think we do. Don't assume that someone understands you either. Make sure that you're proactive. Don't expect them to automatically ask a question to clarify. They don't know that they don't understand. Sometimes people think they understand and they don't know. So we need to clarify. We need to be proactive. We need to clarify. And just ask questions. Just ask questions. Do you understand what I mean? And if they think they do, they'll say yes. What we need to do is help people to make sure that we understand and that they understand what we mean by asking them to tell us what they think we mean. We need them to tell us what they think we mean. Because then we can say to them, no, that's not what I meant, or yes, that is what I meant, that's really great, we've got it. Okay, so we need to do that. See, people hear what they think you mean. People don't hear what you mean, they hear what they think you mean. So Helen might say to me, Jill, you look great today. But if I'm not feeling so great, I might think that she's just trying to be nice and that she doesn't really mean it. Because it's coming through a filter. Picking on you a bit there, Helen, but that's all right. So just talk, just ask questions. It's the basic rule of communication. Do you know most issues that people have in relationships come from lack of respect and lack of communication? And if we can get those two bits right, we'd do a whole lot better. Do you know, I like to think that Brian and I have a really good marriage, and we do. But do you know what? Whenever there's an issue, it's usually because, most commonly me, hasn't listened properly, hasn't understood, hasn't asked questions, hasn't clarified to make sure that we both have shared meaning. And we all need to do that. In every relationship, we need to do that. But let's be leaders in the field. Let's be the people who are proactive. Let's be the ones that choose to do that. So let's be the ones that choose to respect other people. Let's be the ones that choose to speak with honesty and integrity. Let's be ones that choose to look at our motivations and say, am I being selfless in this or am I being selfish? What's my motivation for this relationship? And how's my communication? How's my communication? Have I got sloppy? I can tell you girls, just when I think that I've got this communication thing down and I'm doing it really well, something like the situation with Joanne happens and I think, nope, there's still more work to do. Just clarify. Clarify, communicate. Respect, honesty, selflessness, communication. Give it a go, girls. Because it's the basis of every relationship. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk a bit more specifically about building really good, strong relationships. What I'd really like to do now, though, is in each of the groups that you're in, maybe Helen and Rach can join together in that, in each of the groups that you're in, take just a couple of minutes, talk to each other about one area of a relationship that you would really like to improve and get the girls to pray for you over that. Can we do that this morning? That's great. While you're just finishing up praying there, I'm just going to pray for all of us and then we'll have some morning tea. Father, I thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you love us so much and you want our relationships to flourish. Father, I thank you that you're a God of relationship. You want our relationships to be strong and to be flourishing. And Father, I pray for each one of us that we'll be mindful of how we treat other people, that we'll be mindful of what we say, that Father, that we'll be get really, really good at asking questions to gain shared meaning between one another, Lord, and between our families and our friends. Father, each relationship that we have, that we really understand, and Father, that we call on you when we're really struggling. that, Father, that we can remember that you gave all for your relationship with us. That, Father, that we can have the same motivation when it comes to our relationship with people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.